Welcome to the Down to Dunk podcast. This is your host, Andrew Schlecht, and with me today, special guest Nikki Kay from News Channel 4 here in Oklahoma City. Nikki, how are you?
Hanging in there. I'm really excited to talk some Thunder basketball with my favorite pod.
Well, thank you. You don't have to say that since you're on our podcast, but
well, I wanted to make myself, you know, the favorite guest already, so it's going for that.
So one thing that may hurt in you being our favorite guest is that you informed me that you've never been to Chick-fil-A. Is this true?
I have it on good authority, good record, that that is a verified fact. But you can't blame me, okay? Like, growing up, I grew up in Southern California, and there I had literally never heard of Chick-fil-A till college. And wow. So I didn't even know how to spell it. And then I saw it, I was like, oh, that's, it's not like filet mignon, it's like fill space or dash A.
So how long have you been in Oklahoma City? How long have you lived here? I know that you're not from, since we know you're not from here.
Okay. So I, first day on the job was like April 4th. So I think I'm what, 5 months coming up with September? Yeah.
Not very long at all. So, but still 5 months being in Oklahoma City, no Chick-fil-A. There's a Chick-fil-A everywhere in Oklahoma City.
I do see them a lot, you know, and I do see one by the Target in Edmond, and they've got like extra pop-up tents set up during the lunch hour to like facilitate the drive-thru. I'm like, man, this place has got it down. That's a science.
They're highly efficient and they're so friendly. You won't be disappointed. You have to go. You just have to go.
Okay, that's officially on my OKC bucket list, I guess.
Have you been to any local restaurants in Oklahoma City that you've really enjoyed?
You know, I really do love the little trio of restaurants over there on Lake Hefner, because I like the little lighthouse and the seeing the sunset over the water. It makes me feel a little bit at home. So I really enjoy it out there. And I guess there's still plenty of places for me to go explore. Where would you recommend?
You have to go to the Mule. Have you been to the Mule?
No, I haven't been to Mule, but you guys were rating their sandwiches, right? Those sound dope.
It's been rated the best sandwich place in Oklahoma City for the past forever years, and it's so good. It's the best.
Okay, so what am I ordering once I go there?
Well, a kind of a go-to for a lot of people is the macaroni pony. It's got macaroni and cheese on it, and it's got brisket on it. It's delicious.
Okay.
So good. And they also have seasonal sides. I feel like I'm doing an advertisement right now.
Okay, that's fine. If they're going to sponsor your lunch order a couple of days a week, then you got to get plug in.
They have a seasonal side that you have to try. Every time that they read it to me, it sounds weird, but it's always very tasty. And I don't want to try to describe it because there's some ingredients that I just don't even know what they are. But they're
okay. Wait.
But pause. Before you
tell me about the seasonal side, I want you to introduce it how like Woj does his SeatGeek ads on his pods. So talk to me like I'm one of Woj's guests, and you're also advertising to listeners at the same time.
Now, Nikki, I want you to pause for a second before we get back to our conversation. I can't stand those advertisements. I just hate them.
I love it. You're on the right track.
So the real reason that we had Nikki on was not to talk about food, but was to talk about the actual Thunder basketball. So we are going to do it in a Down to Dunk way. We're going to rank all the players on the Thunder according to their importance this season, all of them. And even Mitch McGarry, even him, and then we're going to give them a serial ranking. So we established this before the podcast. So the number one serial in our hearts and minds is Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and yours is French Toast Crunch. Correct?
Yes. The little golden the little bread slices. Those are beautiful.
They didn't cut into your mouth at all when you chewed them.
No.
That was my problem with it. There is a little bit too hard.
You have a sensitive mouth.
I might have a sensitive mouth. That might be true. I don't know. We had established Cheerios as kind of the middle ground, but there is an upgrade option with Honey Nut Cheerios. So Honey Nut Cheerios is 2. 3 is regular Cheerios, which just means that you're just there. It's not necessarily a horrible thing, but you're just there. And then Grape Nuts is the last one. It's barely a cereal, barely food. I'm not even sure what it is, to be honest.
It's doctor's orders. I think that's what we can classify it as. And nobody likes the doctor, so we'll go with that.
Maybe whenever you're like 70, maybe I'll understand it. Maybe I don't get it. Okay, so the number one in our hearts and minds, Russell Westbrook, it has to be. And he's Cinnamon Toast Crunch all the way.
Yeah, French toast for sure.
We don't even have to discuss it because he, and this is the first year where the Thunder have a just clear number one. It's always been KD and Russ, and some people preferred Russ over KD and vice versa, but now it's just Russ. Number two, who's your number two?
I would go with a strong Steven Adams at my number two. Yeah. How about yourself?
Yeah, definitely Adams. I guess I'm getting a little bit worried that people are going to be overhyped for him this season because
absolutely there's always the risk of that.
I think that he's going to be really good, but I think that if we're expecting him to be Marc Gasol or somebody like that right out the gate, I think that there's going to be a huge letdown. I think he could be Tyson Chandler, like prime Tyson Chandler, where he's playing great defense and can do a little bit in the post, but man, I don't know. I'm a little worried. He's definitely Cinnamon Toast Crunch material, but I'm worried that we're overrating him just a little bit.
Yeah, and you know, the whole point with him too is he's going to have to really lead the charge on the Thunder's defensive efforts. And, you know, if something goes wrong, God forbid, barring injury and all that, it's just going to be it's a lot of weight on his shoulders. And, you know, he kind of has that debonair personality that he takes with the media and stuff, but it'll be actually interesting to see how he handles the weight and the expectations now that it's on him instead of kind of rising to the occasion.
Yeah, it's a huge year and he's 23 years old. He's still super young, but what he showed in the playoffs, even through injury, like people kind of forget that he had an injured hand and he was battling just tons of stuff, you know, kicked in the nuts several times. His performance was just outstanding, and you wouldn't even have known that he was injured. But what, maybe like you think about what can you do if he's not injured, and you know, how is he gonna progress through the summer? If he plays like he did in the playoffs, then I think that the Thunder are poised to grab a top four or five seed. But to expect him to be more than that might be too much too soon.
And here's a question. I mean, do you think he's the type of guy or his relationship with Ennis, if Cantor is traded, that Steven gets affected by that? I know that's kind of a little bit of a weird way to look at it, but, you know, those two are close, and it'd be interesting to see how he operates kind of alongside other players, a DeMontis or, you know, any host of guys that are put in next to him.
Yeah, I think that in my head, I think that they'll be that Cantor would be more affected by it than Adams would.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you on that.
I think that Cantor would be legitimately hurt. I think
as someone who covers the team, it'd be sad to see his. It was almost like kind of with the parting of Dion too. You know, like those are two guys who you feel like they actually. They feel for the team, and you know, to see him kind of just dished off. Not that Ennis has been or in any way, but it's kind of takes a little bit extra of a jab in that sense.
Yeah, and he's just the logical piece to move on from if they do want to upgrade this team, whether it be like move him into cap space or move him for a wing. It's just logical because they have so many good bigs, and Adams is going to demand 30 plus minutes a game.
Yeah.
So it's going to be tricky over the next couple of years. It's going to be tricky. I myself would be shocked if Enes Kanter was still on the team in 2 years, but who knows?
Yeah, exactly. I agree. I agree with you on all fronts there.
Number three. Who's your number three?
I had Vic. Good old Vicky, yeah. And how about yourself?
Vicky, he's going to be great. I feel like he's maybe a little bit underrated as a player just because of the situation he was in Orlando.
I would say he was not set up to succeed there, and one can only hope that his potential and his actual what he puts forward is going to skyrocket when he's around great facilitators like Russ.
Yeah, I mean, you just think about the point guards that he's played with, and it just hasn't been a great situation for him. And they've tried, you know, they made him a point guard in his rookie year, and then they decided to move him off ball, and they've changed coaches a million times, and their roster still, even to this day, has no direction at all. And it's he's just been in a weird spot, and he took off once he took over the bench role last year in Orlando, but I see him really flourishing in Oklahoma City, and maybe even thinking he's like the number two guy on the team, even though I don't think he's the second best player, but he'll definitely take on the number two offensive role.
Well, and one thing too about his potential for growth is, did you listen to the Billy Donovan interview with Woj?
I did, yes.
Okay. And, you know, Billy talking about how kind of Russ and Kevin like set the tone for this roster of young guys who were able to come into practice every day, see how these guys went to work and, you know, really cared as competitors. I mean, at least from Russell Westbrook. But I think that it's safe to say Oladipo hasn't really been around that culture at this point. And I think it's something he's thirsty for. You've gotten the sense of, you know, whether he's sending ring emojis, like that just shows his excitement. And I think he's really going to absorb and work well with Russ and learning from that, you know, killer mentality too. Whether he has it or not, I think he will at least like benefit from being around a player who, you know, expects that of his teammates.
Yeah, he's just, and he's already, they're already doing it. Like he's working out with Russ. In California, like that's been happening throughout the summer, and like that excites you. He's a scrappy player. I don't know like how solid of a defender he is. I think he's a lot like Russ. I think he's a better defender than Russ, but I think he's a lot like Russ. And you look at his body type and the kind of athlete that he is, and you think, oh, elite defender.
Yeah.
But I don't think that he's has quite that profile. But I think that they could, and the same thing with Russ. Like, Russ could be an elite defender, but he's not. And I feel kind of the same about Vicky, in that I think that he could be an elite defender, but I don't know. I still think that Robertson's the best defender on the team.
Yeah, and Vic's got some good length to him too, right? So it's like, it's not like an absurd like projection to say that it's something he could become better at, just like how we saw Russ make some better adjustments during the playoffs besides what he was doing all season last year. Like, so, I mean, I don't think it's that outlandish to be like, hey, you know, we can see a defender in Vic. Have you heard any of his singing?
I have. He's fantastic.
It's stunning. It's phenomenal. So hopefully we're treated to a little bit of like maybe some smooth R&B during media huddles from Victor Oladipo.
That would be great. I'm really excited about him. And I know it's just been a brutal summer in Oklahoma City. But Oladipo is something to be excited about.
I agree. I completely agree. And him and Russ together, it's going to be magical.
It will be. Speaking of their defense, I know I just kind of trashed them a little bit.
Yeah.
They will be the most disruptive backcourt in the NBA.
Can you imagine them just like being all over the place, just like running? I don't know. It's going to be really entertaining to watch night in, night out.
They're going to be fun. There are going to be so many just cathartic, heartfelt dunks on the fast break.
Those slashes, unreal.
Oh, it's going to be great. I think that's our last Cinnamon Toast Crunch player, at least in my head.
I agree with you. And I think, you know, with those three, at least we have a little bit of like, you know, when you finish your first bowl of cereal and the milk still has like the residue of like the initial bowl.
Yes.
And then you're about to pour in the next. Well, let's just hope like maybe some of that Cinnamon Toast like flavoring like soaks onto the Honey Nut Cheerios.
Just stays in. Okay. Yeah. I'm down with this. Yeah.
Okay.
Who's four for you?
Okay, so I had a really hard time with this one.
Yeah.
I like wrote two names down and then I wanted to switch them. And I'm going to go against what I initially wrote down. I'm going to say Irsan's my number four. What about you?
Oh, wow.
Did you put Ennis or Dre?
I put Andre Roberson.
Dang, you know what? I probably should have put Dre too. But I don't know why I did what I did.
I'm so afraid of Irsan Ilyasova being horrible this year.
That's a good point. And you know what? It's way safer to go with the known rather than the unknown. And I really like Dre too, so I don't know why I went there. But I'll defend my case. You start off with Dre because I do believe in Dre, and I think Billy does too, which is huge. Yeah. But and then I'll try and make my half-hearted case for Irsan.
Okay, Roberson, he's the most versatile defender on the team. I've heard people talk about thinking that they think that the Thunder defense could be a top 10 defense. I just disagree. I just don't think that they can get there. I think that there's a lot of good defensive teams in the league. I think that the Thunder have way too many holes. And if they do have a chance, it's because of Andre Roberson, because he can defend 1 through 4, sometimes some fives. He's a little bit skinnier and a little bit lighter than some people think he is. Like, some people just want to say, let's just put him full-time power forward. He's not that big. Like, he's definitely more the size of a shooting guard than he is the size of a power forward. Even in this league, he is. But his ability to catch on the pick and roll, he's shown that ability. He's shown the ability to be one of the best one-on-one defenders. He's good off the ball. I just think that this team is really going to be craving that. And I don't want to mention his name, but Kevin Durant was an amazing defender for the Thunder in the playoffs. He was so good, and the Thunder are really going to miss that. And Roberson is as good as he was. He's going to have to even be better, because he's going to have to fill that hole in the wing. Because the Thunder wing position is just really pathetic. It's really bad. And Roberson is definitely the brightest note of that crew. So I just think that his importance to this team, and whether he hits shots, I'm not counting on it, because I just don't think he can. But I just think that his importance defensively, setting the tone there, being able to play small ball, and if he does hit threes, then I'm kind of afraid to see what his contract will be. But I just think that his importance on defense is just huge.
And, you know, to strengthen your argument too, he did admit that his, you know, barrier to making those threes was mental. And like, mm-hmm. you know, if that's something you can overcome, you know, in a couple of moments in the playoffs, because he did have those bright spots, like, hopefully that's what he is, you know, working on all season long now. And it doesn't become such of a, you know, like that moment, but now it's more automatic and part of his game. So I agree. I see exactly what you're saying. And I definitely agree with you on his strengths as a young player for the Thunder core.
He's Honey Nut Cheerios. He's Honey Nut Cheerios kind of player.
Cheerios with the French toast flavoring soaking.
Yes, that's it. He's great. Okay, make your case for Irsan. I need to hear this.
Okay, so I went with the approach that, you know, the Thunder needs scoring, and I think that Irsan has the potential to stretch the floor for the Thunder, open up those opportunities for Russ and Vic. I also think he has a little bit more of a defensive promise than Ennis does. And he's got that relationship with Griffin, who's about to be an assistant coach with the Thunder.
Yeah.
So I think that can be a strengthened part of his game, almost in the sense, you know, you hope Dre strengthens his shooting, maybe Irsan strengthens his defense. You know, I like that Ennis called him the Turkish hammer.
Yeah.
and that he's one of the best guys at drawing charges. You know, I would hope that he comes in and kind of gives that offense a little bit of potency, in the sense of, you know, increasing the range from which he can score and stuff like that. So my hope is high for Irsan, but like you said, it is a little, there is a little bit of too much to be seen from him. So, and you know, I've heard you guys make this point before. It's like, this is all like making the point of hoping like that these things go right. So I tried to make the case for Irsan, but we'll see what we actually get from him in a couple months, I guess.
Yeah, I love his shooting. I think that he can bring a lot of what Ibaka did, at least on the offensive end, where you just stand there and you're spacing the floor.
Yeah,
I think that's it's very valuable. But I just worry about him on defense. I worry that his rebounding has slipped. Not that this team is just desperate for rebounding. That's the thing that they actually excel in. But I just worry about him on defense. There's a lot of good power forwards in the league. And, you know, how does the Thunder defense adjust to not having a guy that's a weak side blocker? Because that's just not even close to what Ersan is.
So the
Thunder defense is going to have to change a ton, and he's a lot of the reason for it. The departure of Ibaka is probably more of a reason for it. But I just worry that he's not going to be able to play defense. I think he plays 20 minutes a night. Do you think he plays more than that?
No. Well, who do you have starting in the four?
I think he has to start, just because I don't think there's a better option.
Yeah.
At least today.
And how do you think he complements Adams? Like, how do you think that duo works together?
Their offensive games are a really good match. Because you can sit your son in the corner or sit him at the top of the key or something, and he can just stand out there and hit shots, and Adams just cleans up. But again, my question is on the other side of the floor. And a lot of times I overvalue defense.
Yeah.
To where I just say that Ersan is like a nothing player, which isn't true, but sometimes I'll say that.
I think he's got one up on Ennis, at least, and I don't know. You're right. It's I guess if you're going with defense, then Dre's got to be your number four or your fourth on the ranking on the totem pole.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I was taking the approach of, you know, Thunder needs shooting, Thunder needs scoring, and he's maybe the best weapon they've got in the moving down the line. I don't know.
He's their best shooting big, and you need shooting bigs.
Yeah.
You just do. And that's why they kept him, because they could have waived his contract and saved a ton of money, but they wanted him on the team. And he's also a good trade chip, because his number at $8 million is...
Yeah, his contract's not a burden for anyone to take off.
It's kind of that sweet spot where you can find a role player that makes about that money, maybe a little more, where you'd have to include somebody else. But you can find... That's just a really good tradable contract, and he's a guy that can still bring value in his shooting. So I think that maybe I like him more as an asset than I do as a player.
Okay.
Five. Who'd you have at five? Did you have Robertson?
I kind of had like Ennis, Ersan, Dre, all kind of at the same level. So now, I guess if we both talked about, I recognize your value in Dre. So you want to talk Ennis then, or who's your five?
Yeah, I had Ennis at five.
Okay. What do you think he needs to do this offseason besides taking to Twitter? Because we all want more of that, right?
Oh, he's been so good.
He's been fantastic.
Every time you just get down, you just look at his Twitter feed, and you're like, that's how I feel.
He'll pick me up when no one else will. And he's Honey Nut Cheerios for sure. He's got that sweet little honey to him.
He's a good player. And I don't know. There's a lot of like the quote unquote smart NBA analysts that just trash him, and it's frustrating because they don't beat the Spurs without Enes Kanter. They just don't. His rebounding is elite. His scoring around the basket is elite. He's got good touch. Like if he could stretch out and shoot threes, which he didn't do very much, and he didn't do it really. He did it in Utah more, but he didn't do it very well. But if he can stretch out, his value is going to skyrocket, because he's just an offensive juggernaut in himself.
Here's a question for you. At this time last year, what were you saying on your pod about Ennis Kanter?
We were for him.
You were hyped on his arrival at this point. Okay, good.
It's the same story. We know that he's a bad defender.
Mm-hmm.
But he's valuable. Like, he has value to this team. He adds value to really any team, because he is the best offensive rebounder in the league. I really spent my summer, I had surgery last summer, and so I spent my summer watching Summer League and trying to defend Ennis Kanter, which was really hard to do, but I did that.
Fair enough. But, and you know what I think too, one thing that can be said for him that is
you know, not a lot of players across the league can bring to this team is his chemistry, like, is such a huge factor. Russ likes him. Adams likes him. The morale for Oklahoma City in general, like, people like this guy. Yeah. And so I think that's a big kind of, you know, plus that we may not be seeing in his defense or his ability to balance on his feet, but he's a, like, that grin, there's no way you don't want to see him playing with all his might, you know, for the Thunder night in, night out.
And just the bromance between he and Steven Adams. Oh, you just want them to play together. You just want it to happen.
It's perfect. And I like the screen, his screen setting ability, especially off the pick and roll with Russ. I think he's also going to have some value for Abrines too, in terms of getting him some more looks with his offensive rebounding, and then, you know, just kicking it out when Mr. Alejandro is on the court as well.
Yes, and some people get caught up in floor spacers as guys that are sitting out on the perimeter.
Yeah.
But a guy that can score like Ennis can on the block is a floor spacer.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe he's been working on some of that defensive movement.
I just give him credit, because I do think that he is doing the best that he can. It's not that he tries
for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, and I, you know, he played good defense against the Spurs. He had more blocks in the Spurs series than anybody else on the Thunder.
Yeah, I think, yeah, you know, and I think it's just a little bit of his, it's just like, it's almost like his reaction in terms of being a little bit limiting in his defense, right? Would you say he's like a half second behind movements, or just a little bit like taken off guard? What is it with his like ability to not be where he needs to be, you know, at that moment?
It just feels like whenever he's in space, that he doesn't know what to think. Like, he doesn't know which decision is the right one to make. When in his pick and roll coverage, even though they have a very specific pick and roll coverage, this is what you're supposed to do here, this is what you're supposed to do here. It just feels like neither his feet nor his brain know what is happening.
Exactly. He's a little he's a little clumsy canter on defense.
He is. But he's still valuable. Mm-hmm. Best offensive rebounder in the league last season. He'll continue to do that. He'll continue to get better. I think that he can be... He did improve on defense last year, even though he wasn't good.
Yeah.
But if we can get him to regular old bad on defense, I think the Thunder will be in good shape.
Yeah, he's definitely he's a boost. He's a little charge too, a little spark plug for the team.
Who'd you have at six?
Let me check here. Sorry, I turned my page. Okay. So I've gone kind of breezed through now. Ennis, Irsan, Dre. I have Campaign as my sixth man. How about you?
Yes, I'm on the Campaign train.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know though. Honestly, like, he's someone who I want so badly to see succeed.
Yeah.
But I'm worried about him in terms of his consistency moving forward.
He was hurt last year. That's where I'm just like, I just think that the injuries had way more to do with it than what people even know.
That's a very fair point that I think a lot of people don't mention in their first discussion of what he provided last year.
Because it was inconsistent because, I don't know, they had guys that they trusted a little bit more, and there was just more at stake last year. They just couldn't afford to have a rookie point guard come out there and have big minutes. They needed, I mean... It just tells you everything that they traded for Randy Foy to make that happen. They just needed somebody that was solid, that wasn't going to screw up. And that's what they needed. This year, there's more freedom. There's more wiggle room. Obviously, if you're going to be gunning for the fifth seed, then you're going to lose more games. And the games don't mean quite as much. And you can, you know, stand to develop a guy like Cameron Payne a little bit more.
Yeah. And I think, honestly, that's, you know... So I was born and raised a Lakers fan, still am, and it's kind of going through what we've gone through with that franchise, and then almost seeing what's kind of in the makings here in Oklahoma City. I think that's one thing fans should be so aware of, is that like this is going to be really exciting almost every night to see what the heck is going on with this team. Mm-hmm. And whereas from my understanding last season, everyone was like, what's Billy Donovan doing with this rotation? Why is he doing this? What's he doing? You know, now it's going to be like really exciting being like, hey, well, that worked. Maybe it didn't work. That was awesome. That sucked. And like all the feels are going to be really cool feels, you know? Yes. So I think with campaign too, it's going to be like, all right, Cam, like it's your time to shine. And, So he should be excited heading into the season. Also, like you said, the lack of pressure is a huge factor, I think, in helping him develop.
I think that he's the best. He's the third best shot creator on the team.
Yeah.
His floater game is really, really good.
Yeah.
He's got the ability to see the floor. He can run a pick and roll well. He's probably the guy that can. I would trust him more than Oladipo to run an offense.
Yeah.
And some people are like, well, they'll just have Oladipo as the backup. Well, I just don't think so. I think that they want Oladipo in a different role, and I think that they do want to develop Cameron Payne, and I think and they want him to play with Russell Westbrook too.
And that's going to be another thing people get to look forward to, because then, hey, maybe Russ gets a little bit more off the ball movement and looks in factored in his game as well. Yep. And he's not, you know, just jacking up atrocious threes when he is trying to create shots that aren't slashing to the rim.
Yeah, exactly. And Cam, he's got a pretty good shot. I think that he's got to improve his 3-point shooting this year. But he had stretches last year where he was really a very good 3-point shooter. So I think he's going to improve. He's still super young. He's really, really skinny, but I do think that he can be
a decent
defender. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They've been putting him on, you know, constant eating plans. I think he was talking like after summer league that it's like steak and shakes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited about Cameron Payne. He's a lottery pick selected by Sam Presti, and for the most part, that bodes very well for who you are, especially point guards and guards in general. Like almost every guard that he's taken in the draft in the first round has worked out. So I think that it bodes well for him, and I think that he's going to be very good, and probably similar to Reggie Jackson, where it's his final year of his contract. And what's his choice going to be? Is he going to be, Manu Ginobili and just accept that he's a bench player? Or is he going to be Reggie Jackson? Hopefully, oh my gosh, I hate Reggie Jackson so much. I hope that he's not Reggie Jackson.
Yeah. And you know, also, like, I think that, you know, with the turnovers and stuff, those are things that go away with increased experience, increased IQ in terms of decision making come those game time situations. So hopefully as he gets more minutes, those turnover, which I fully believe the turnovers go down, and his field goal percentage rises.
Yeah, agreed. I think he's going to have a big season. Mm-hmm. At seven, I had Ilyasova.
Okay.
Who is your seven?
I'm gonna do a little audible here, and I'm gonna move Domantas Sabonis into my seventh pick.
Yes.
Yeah, is that what you have too?
I have Ilyasova there just ahead of Sabonis season.
Got it.
But I think Domantas is gonna be really good. I'm really excited about him too.
And you know what? I feel like he moves the exact opposite as Mitch McGarry does. When I first watched Sabonis at Gonzaga, I was like, wow, he has like such a, you know, beautiful light movement to him, you know, whether it's around the rim or, you know, his passing awareness. And then you watch McGarry and he's like a bulldozer down there. So
I can feel every movement.
Yes. So those are like kind of my two contrasts. I mean, I could be wrong, but like McGarry in summer league just looked so out of shape. So like reckless, but you know, he has some heart in him. So I don't know, but Sabonis, yes, will be so exciting to watch.
Yeah. He's, I'm very just intrigued to watch him. I'm not sure exactly how he'll fit as a rookie, but I do think that he's going to play. I think that he's a strong rebounder. I think that he is a really good decision maker, just a smart player. The Thunder for a while didn't really have a ton of like high IQ NBA players, and they're starting to gather those kind of guys. Like Oladipo's that, Adams is that, Cantor is that, even though people don't think he's any good. Cameron Payne is there, Sabonis is there, Abrinas. All these guys are really smart players. Yep. They know how to move the ball, they know how to make a quick decision, and I'm just excited to see more players like that get on the floor in OKC.
As Presti would say, he fits the cultural trajectory of this franchise's development within the community.
And the cement is organically drying in the form of Domantas Sabonis.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And I think that if Sabonis can really develop a reliable mid-range jumper too, that he will provide some of that stretch four and maybe stretch five shooting weaponry to the Thunder's arsenal.
And that was that's one of the reasons why I think the Thunder drafted him, is that they did see him shoot really well.
Yeah.
And because he didn't show it in Gonzaga because he didn't have to, because he could just beast guys in the post, and that's how he could score points the most easy. But I think that he'll be able to stretch the floor at some point in his career. Maybe not this year, but I do think that he's got enough shooting touch to do that. And he did it a little bit in the Olympics. But it's still it's hard
Olympic
to take
basketball
those.
Basketball on a whole was just I don't know. I didn't, to be quite honest. Yeah, I really didn't watch much of it because I was like, you know, I'd rather watch synchro swimming than than Olympic hoops. No, but yeah, I did see a couple of his highlights, and yeah, I don't think though that we should like use those as, and I'm not saying you do, but like fans in general should use the Olympics as any sort of like measuring stick for him or hopefully Abrinas too. So you know, moving forward with that, I guess.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think you can take just his movement, like you talked about, like he does move very well, and he can move laterally well on the perimeter. Not that he's going to be like Draymond Green out there, but he's good enough to where I think they're going to have him do it.
Yeah. Do you think he has the potential to be a Porzingis eventually?
No. He's not athletic. He's not athletic enough.
Yeah.
To be Porzingis.
I think, you know, like you said, he's got pluses to him, but not going to be a Draymond, not going to be a Porzingis. But
no. He doesn't have, his length is very average. His athleticism, like he's a decent athlete, but he's not a crazy athlete. I think what he'll bring to the team is just being a really smart player that can move well. He's got good touch. He can pass. He does need to work on his right hand. He's super left dominant. But I do think that he's going to develop that. And I think that playing with Cantor and Adams, and like if those are the guys that you're around all
he's
the time,
learn so much.
Gonna
yeah.
Be, he's going to get so much better. And I do think that maybe even if the Thunder don't make a trade or if they don't make a signing, he could be the starting power forward this time next year.
Yeah, and I mean, it's nuts to think that, but you know, like, bring it on. And he's got the platform to be able to develop this season especially, so.
And he's got his dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a big deal. I mean,
Yeah, do you think we're going to see Arvidas on any sidelines?
Oh, I hope so. How great would that be?
That'd be really neat. I'd be pumped.
I would be. His massive head would stick out in Loud City if I go to the games.
Yeah.
So I had Ilyasova 7, Sabonis 8, number 9. Who'd you have number 9?
Okay, I'm gonna paint a scenario for you.
Okay.
Let's say you and your buddies are, well, I guess I should preface this. One of your guys' friends lives down the street from Kyle Singler, right?
Yes.
Okay. Let's just say, like, in sheer happenstance, you guys are all hanging out at this person's house. You know, it's a nice spring afternoon. You're on the patio, kind of maybe, you know, just enjoying the day. And sure enough, on a single speed bike, riding by with a little backwards Italian biker's cap and one earphone in and a latte in the other hand is Kyle. It's Kyle Singler. And he sees guys and he's like, oh, they look nice. And so he stops his single speed and invites you guys to come hang out. At that moment, and Kyle Singler turns into be this really cool person. How bad do you guys feel at that moment? Not to mention, let's say he's had a great season.
Okay, that's a whole another thing.
And I say great season in the sense of he's averaging 8 to 10 points a game.
How many Dashboard Confessional songs is he making me play for him at his house?
He's got the Spotify dashboard station already established, so you're not even touching the DJ system. You're enjoying conversation with Kyle Singler.
But does he make us start a Dashboard cover band? That's my real question.
Yes, he absolutely does.
Okay. I'll feel a little bit bad.
Okay.
Because we do have a little band within the Down to Dunk podcast, because Jay plays the drums, I play the guitar, Taylor can play the bass,
and okay.
Luke can be our lead singer, or even Kyle Singler could be our lead singer.
If you need more cowbell, may I audition for the band?
Yes.
Perfect.
So you have Kyle Singler at 9, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Who do you have?
I have Alex Sabrinas.
Well, yeah, I probably should have put that too. But I honestly really was eager to bring up Kyle Singler in this.
I can see it. Okay, I can envision. Singler has like, everything that we would theoretically has everything that we would want.
Also, I'm very, very cautious of this Alex Sabrinas character because really haven't seen anything from him at all. Whereas Kyle, you know, yeah, he had a really bad off season or bad season past season, and like, you know, at least we know what he's capable of, and like you said, theoretically has what we want. Well, Abrinas, I mean, I'm all for giving the guy a chance, but I really haven't seen anything besides some FIBA highlights of him.
Yeah, I think that he can be an elite shooter in the league.
Yeah,
and I do think that he's a guy that can make a quick decision.
Yeah,
he's not going to get killed on defense, but he's not going to be a standout. I like what he can bring to the table. I think that his ultimate destiny is to be a better Anthony Morrow. And then has upside to be JJ Redick. Even that's his upside.
Yeah, that was some of the comp I was seeing with him too, and I think his ability to space the floor it's really going to open up opportunities for Russ and Vic to get to the rim. And, you know, if he can bring some of that catch and shooting to the game, like it will definitely give the Thunder some of the scoring they need.
Yeah. A lot of the Alex Sabrinas stuff for me is it's impossible to predict. Like is he going to even play?
Yeah.
I mean, he could not play. That's possible. Yeah. But I do think that he is going to show to be a more reliable defender than a guy like Anthony Morrow. And I just think that he's going to hit shots when Kyle Singler won't. That's all projection. But I think that he's a straight-up Cheerios guy. Like, he will probably just be there.
We abandoned our story.
I know. I'm trying to get back on track.
Yeah, Alejandro will definitely be Cheerios. And, you know, maybe over time he can evolve into some Honey Nut. But, yeah, I agree with you.
I have Anthony Morrow right behind him at 10.
Okay. Well, I clearly have Kyle before Anthony.
Dude, that's just amazing. It takes guts, really.
I'm all for Kyle doing some self-reflection over the summer. And did you see the video of him and Josh Huestis like doing their own little self-conducted interview at like shooting in an empty Thunder practice facility?
I have not seen this.
Oh my gosh, this is brilliant. You need to go watch this. It's on like the Thunder's website, and it's basically the two of them like shooting together and like each one taking turns asking the other one questions. Oh, no. And so Kyle talks about his summer. Get this. His big summer travel was
driving an RV from Utah to Montana because he really enjoys the
my gosh.
It's brilliant.
Is it kind of sad? Is it kind of sad?
No. Okay. It's not. I mean, I'm a believer. I'm a believer in the singular.
Okay.
But I mean, I also really love every comp you guys make to him on the pod. But, you know, like you got to watch this because it's like Houston's like, you know, collecting the ball, passing it to Singler and just kind of asking him about his summer and stuff like that. So it gives him a little bit more of a human element, which might make you feel bad once he invites you to his house one day.
We have breaking news.
Uh-oh, what is it?
The Thunder have traded two future second round picks to the Denver Nuggets for Joffrey LaVerne.
What?
Yeah, it just happened.
Wow. Okay, instant reaction.
I don't know how good Joffrey LaVerne is. I guess that's my instant reaction. He's okay. He can shoot it a little bit.
Yeah.
He's got a really great beard. He's got really nice hair. He's big. I don't know. I guess I don't really understand this move.
Yeah. I wonder if it's accumulating assets.
Yeah. And I wonder if this is like a precursor to something else happening.
Would
be one of my initial reactions is what?
I honestly don't know enough about Joffrey either. So, you know what I was like thinking this morning? Like, what if the Thunder did a trade to Chicago for Jimmy Butler? Like, give him Ersan and, sorry, Victor Oladipo. I mean, not Ersan, sorry, Ennis and Vic, and get Jimmy instead. I mean, that's obviously a wild conjecture, and I don't think D-Way would go to the to the Bulls without Jimmy, but I'm playing
Joffrey LaVerne highlights. I love it.
Interesting. I don't know. You guys will have processed this more on Friday, huh?
Yes. My initial reaction is, how much better is Jimmy Butler than Oladipo? Because Oladipo's still like 4 years younger.
Yeah.
That would just
that could be a good point.
He's better, but I just don't know.
Like, we also don't know how much Victor Oladipo could grow too. So that's it. And so someone was, I wasn't the one who thought of, you know, like, well, why would D-Wade go to the Bulls without Butler? So, yeah. I mean, that could be a very wild conjecture. I don't know about this LaVerne business. That's interesting.
He had a 15 PER, so he's like a super average big guy. Which is great. I don't understand this. I honestly don't understand it unless it's like a precursor to like a Enes Kanter trade or something.
Because this is like where the Thunder are stacked the most, right?
Kanter, Adams, Sabonis, Ilyasova. I mean, I just don't. Where does he fit? Like, what is the meaning of this, Sam Presti? Yeah.
I know. So I hope, I mean, something's got to be in the works, we're not Sam Presti's sweater. We don't know what he's thinking.
We have no idea. We are not his many pairs of glasses. We have no idea what he's seeing.
Oh man, that dude's got style.
He does. He really does. He's awesome. Okay. So I had Morrow at 10. I'm just so thrown off by Joffrey LaVerne. I just don't even know what to say about this. Is so weird. I did have Singler at 11.
Okay. If Singler, how many points does Singler need to average this season for you to be pleased, I guess? I want to say not just like, okay, you're doing your job, but like, all right, no, he's actually, you know, maybe making a return to what we saw in Detroit.
For me, it's not like counting stats, it's more efficiency. So I'd want him to shoot 38% or higher and I would like him to be a league average defensive player. And then I would say, you know what? He's very useful.
Okay. Yeah, we need him to be useful.
Yeah. He needs to be the guy who they brought him in to be, which is just a shooter that can cover threes and some fours.
Got it.
And if you can do that, perfect. You're right back in our good graces. We will sing as many emo songs as you want, Kyle.
All the emo songs for you, Kyle.
And then the last four, I don't know what order you had them. We can just fire these off as our... Well, I can't do that to Collison. Collison's 12. He's still Cheerios because he just has to be.
And also, his leadership in that locker room, you need. You know, you need that. So, because imagine if Russell Westbrook's your only leader, you know, your only bet. You need Nick.
Yeah, you got to have Collison. Last three, I have them in this order. Ronnie Price, Josh Huestis, and Mitch McGarry, all as my my trio of grape nuts.
Yeah, I would put McGarry as expired grape nuts, maybe.
He's the grape nuts that the grocery store has thrown away or donated.
I don't know if you can put together a worse season on and off the court for a player, you know, and that's not to say anything about his, you know, personality or his on-court efforts, but he just has, I don't know if he's adding anything positive to the roster at this point. Maybe he can, maybe he will, and I could be completely wrong, but yeah.
And maybe LaVerne is a signal that they are going to move on from Mitch McGarry and they're going to, you know, not pick up this next year.
Yeah, and that could very well be a part of it. And also, so Nazir Mohammed, what do you have him as?
Is he still, he's not on the team, is he?
He's on their roster website.
Yeah, he is on the, I've seen that, but he's not, what was his contract?
But they do, I'm not quite sure. And I, you know it also though, but they have a pretty updated website. I mean, I don't know what that means.
He's not going to be, he's got to retire, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Also, have you seen Ronnie Price's headshot?
Not on the Thunder website. I have not.
He's got the happiest smile on the website.
Maybe that was mean of me then to put him as grape nuts.
Yeah. No. That is really insensitive. No. But he's there. I'm looking at it now. Nazir's there. So is Samaj, and I guess he's grape nuts too, because you know he hasn't proven anything yet. And Daniel Hamilton as well.
Oh yeah, second rounder. So they're putting everybody that's in camp plus Nazir Muhammad.
Yeah. Hey, it makes for a motley crew on that website. I do implore everybody to go check it out because their faces and they have Irsan and Ennis right next to each other, which is great. And then you know, Ronnie's smile, I can't stop. It like makes me so happy.
Oh yeah, that's a big smile. What's up with Cameron Payne's smile?
Yeah, it's very half-hearted.
It's yeah.
It's kind of like a little bit intimidating, and then almost like, wait, are we smiling in this?
Yeah. You know? Do you even want to be here, Cam? I'm really questioning everything about him now.
Yeah. And apparently Huestis is trying to grow out his fro, I think.
Oh,
you got to watch these Thunder website videos of him and Singler talking about their summer workouts. They're phenomenal.
I'm going to have to do that. Kyle Singler, not smiling, not happy. He's emotional. He's emo.
I think it says determination. He's ready. He's ready for 2016, 2017 to be the year of the Singler.
I'm going to hold you to this.
Okay. I think it's very possible for players to have just a bad year. And yeah, but
you saw Devin George do that.
Yes. Yes. And then, you know, there's also I think it's really exciting to see how players evolve their games when it
it isn't a team led by, you know, Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. Like, this is going to be such a great growing opportunity for, you know, all faces in, of the franchise. And I don't know, it's going to be, like we've talked before, exciting night in, night out. There's yep. always going to be something to discuss.
There's lots of shots to be had this season.
Yes. Plenty of shots for everyone.
It should be very fun. Nikki, mm-hmm. thank you so much for coming on our podcast today. I don't want to interrupt you. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, hopefully I held my own. You know, if you can edit out anything that that's like, this girl doesn't know what she's saying.
No, it was great. Tell everybody where we can follow you on Twitter, and then how we can find any of your other stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, I do have my own Cowbell YouTube page where I will be up. Just kidding. No. You can follow me on Twitter at Nikki K, KFOR. And also, I like to reply tweet to any of the DTD tweets. So hopefully you'll find me there. And hopefully this won't be the last you'll be hearing from me on the pod. I've got to go try Chick-fil-A before I get invited to any real rankings, huh?
That's right. That's how we'll do the real rankings. This is just a faux ranking today. The cereal is just a faux ranking. But yeah, go to Chick-fil-A, and the next pod that we do, we're going to have to do a little Chick-fil-A review with you.
Okay, awesome. Phenomenal. Andrew, thank you so much.
Thanks, Nikki.
Thanks for listening to the Down to Dunk podcast. You can find us at dailythunder.com and downtodunk.com. Follow us on Twitter at DTD Podcast, and ask us Twitter questions every Wednesday. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us a 5-star iTunes review, and your review will be read on the next podcast. Thanks for listening.